Hello, welcome to King's Church Bangor Sermon Podcast. We hope and pray that this message helps you in your journey with God and blesses you this week. If you want to find out more about King's Church, then head to our website, kingschurchbangor.org, or you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook for more updates.
Good morning, King's Church. Hope you're doing well. I guess I can also say good evening. Unfortunately, it is Saturday night and I am quite unwell today. I've been struggling for the last couple of days and thought it was better to be safe rather than sorry and come to church this morning and speak. Thankfully I've COVID negative, but I've been quite unwell, so instead I thought I'd film this and hopefully, I know it's not great, but hopefully you can still get something from this morning, and especially with this new screen that I guess I find myself on right now. Hopefully it benefits you. And whilst I might not be able to give you all my enthusiasm and zeal that I normally have, I hope that we can just look at a piece of scripture together. You've already read it this morning. Hopefully we can learn a little bit from it. And hopefully we can walk away and be changed. You know, I really believe, you know, Paul said it's not about persuasive words, right? He said that he just wants to talk to people about Jesus. He just wants to preach to people about him. And that's what I want to do this morning. And so it won't be with my normal enthusiasm, but it will be with a heart that we would all come to know Jesus a little bit more. And so you've just read the passage in the last 16, 17 verses in John 1. And we've been going through this series together as a church. And this real rich book that we are looking at, that we're reading. And as I've sat in this text over the last couple of weeks, I've been reading it again and again. And like I find with most biblical passages that I read, the more you read it, the more you get out of it. And I've read this and I feel like there's so many brilliant things that we can take out of this passage. And so I'm going to try to go through just, I guess, three things that have stood out to me in the last couple of weeks that I think I certainly can learn, and hopefully you too can just ask yourself these questions, I guess, and ask yourself, how does that then shape my life by asking these questions? So I hope that is okay with you. But we pick up the story, and you've just had it read to you, but we pick up the story just as we've been introduced to John the Baptist. And last week, Ian introduced us to him. Now, John the Baptist isn't the same as the author of this book, right? So it's a different John. But we're introduced to this guy called John the Baptist, who basically says that I'm here to prepare the way for the risen Lord, prepare the way for Jesus. John the Baptist was Jesus's cousin. He had disciples that followed him. He had followers, people that listened to him. He would have preached quite regularly. He was quite a cool guy who just ate locusts and honey, which sounds bizarre to me, but apparently he had a lot of followers. And we start the story basically at that point, right? And we read that there were two disciples of John the Baptist who were stood with John. And John the Baptist goes and says, hey, look, there is the Lamb of God, right? And he recognizes straight away that this man who's, you know, 30 years old, he recognizes that there's something about him. He knows that he is the one who is going to effectively be a sacrifice for the whole world so that we can have eternal life, so that we can be forgiven of all of our sins. He recognizes that straight away. And he basically points his own disciples to this guy who obviously is Jesus. These two disciples that John was with, they start to follow Jesus. Okay. And they're following him as he's, I guess, walking along, and Jesus turns around, right? Jesus turns around and he says, what do you want? And what I've loved about reading this passage is that it's that question which has stuck with me more than any other part, I think, of this, of these 17 verses. What do you want? And I think we can read that scripture very much as, you know, what do you want right now? Like, what do you want from me? Almost like I'm walking up to a sales assistant at my local Asda, and they turn around and they say, what would you like, sir? Like, what do you want in it right now? And I read that passage, and that's how I would normally read it. But I've been thinking about it more and more, and I've, I guess, studied this passage. And there's a school of thought that says that Jesus isn't asking them, like, what do you want right now? What do you want with me and my time? Do you want to ask me a question? Like, what's the deal? Why are you following me? This is a bit odd. Jesus is actually potentially asking, what do you want in your life? What are you after? What are your desires? What is your heart for? And I love that question that these guys who they follow John the Baptist, and they're thinking, hey, who is this Jesus guy? They're slightly intrigued by him, and they follow him, and he's trying to work out, what do you want from life? Because if I can work out what you want from life, then I can decide whether what I've got is what you need or what you want. And the reason why I think that might be actually what Jesus means is because these two disciples, they almost avoid the question, right? They answer that question that Jesus poses them with another question where they basically just ask, where are you staying? It's almost like they've deflected that because they're not quite sure what they want yet. And they're still trying to work that out. And I think for us as individuals, as Christians even, we're trying to work out, what is it that we want? And I think we can often say the right things, and we can, you know, I might ask you, what do you want? And sure, you might tell me that it's to have a relationship with Jesus, but I actually don't think that that's normally the number one answer. And one of my favorite questions to ask people, and I do this all the time, not normally with new people that I meet, I say, what's the dream? What is your dream in 10 years? What would you love to see happen? And if I'm honest with you, not many people answer it with an answer that revolves around knowing Jesus. It fascinates me, right? And I wonder if somebody asked me, hey, what's the dream? I'm not sure I would answer it with Jesus. You know, my dream might be to go and watch the Formula One at every single circuit for a whole year, right? And you'll see this theme about me, that I love Formula One. And that's probably my, you know, the thing that I love so much, apart from my family and Jesus, right? And I guess that's the question that I want to ask you. What is it that you want? Is it a promotion at your work? Is it a really nice fancy house? Is it a flourishing family? Is it a new car? Is it a really fancy holiday? Is it a life of retirement? Is it just a quiet life where you don't have any problems? What is it that you want? And those things aren't bad, mostly. But I think Jesus often wants to ask us, what do you want? So that's my question to you. And I don't want to give you the answer. I just want you to maybe think about it. And I want you to think about it at lunch this afternoon. I want you to think about it as you go home. I want to think about it in your community groups and in your friendships. And maybe you want to ask some people who don't go to King's Church or aren't even Christians and say, hey, what do you want? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to achieve in life? But anyway, the story goes on, and it prompts another question, which I find really interesting. So in the story, right, we get this guy. We basically recognise that it's Andrew. Andrew's one of these two of John's disciples, right? So Andrew's one of them. And funnily enough, most scholars think that the second one is actually John, the writer of this book. But because John doesn't often talk about himself in his own writing, he doesn't acknowledge it. But we think that's it, right? But then we read about Andrew, and we're introduced to Simon Peter, who is Andrew's brother. And we then see that Simon basically hears that Jesus is here, and Jesus has his interaction with Simon, calls him Peter, which is amazing. And then the next day, verse 43, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and he said, come, follow me. Okay, so now Philip was in the same place as Andrew, from the same hometown as Andrew and Peter, which is great. So they probably all knew each other at this point. They would have known each other at the very least, but probably had a good friendship with each other. And so I'll get onto that in a minute about Andrew's relationship with Peter and with Philip. But Jesus says to him, he says, come and follow me. And again, I think if I asked you the question, do you follow Jesus? I reckon most people in this room, I think you'd say yes, right? What if I asked you, what's the number one thing that you follow? Or what else do you follow apart from Jesus? And I think as I look at our culture and our society, and I love to do this, I kind of see that the amount of time that we spend following Jesus just in our day to day is getting less. And we looked at this a few months ago when we did a series called Digital Babylon, and we looked at how it used to be. Like for me, I grew up in a Church of England school. It was called St. Michael's, and every single morning we sang a song of worship and we prayed. And so I grew up in that. I grew up in a family who loved God and told me about Jesus and had these conversations with me. I went to church every single Sunday. But our society, our culture is becoming less and less, being taught about this Christian belief about who this guy named Jesus is. And we're starting to follow other things, right? And what I love is that following, I think, was a very popular term back in the biblical times, right? Who do you follow? You know, and that's that, you read that quite a lot in scripture, but then it kind of lost its way and the idea of following someone was quite rare, but it's almost, you know, spiked again, mainly through, Twitter and Instagram. And you can see on my screen, there's a few pictures there. One of them is my own personal Instagram account after watching a Netflix documentary about social media. I basically tried to stop being on social media, but there it is. I have got a social media account. No point following me because there's nothing on there, I promise you. But you can see there that I follow 372 people. It's the easiest it's ever been to work out who do you follow. You only have to jump onto your Facebook page or onto your Instagram or your Twitter or whatever it might be and see who do you follow. And I can look on there. And honestly, if you looked at my following, which I think you can do, I think it's pretty open public information, you'll see that I follow a bunch of individuals who are my mates, people that I know. I then follow a bunch of probably Christian authors or speakers or people that I know who are quite influencers in the Christian world. And then probably the bulk of the other ones are Formula One drivers, right? I mentioned Formula One before, but I love to follow Formula One drivers to kind of be in that world. And we can see who we follow. And I wonder, who are your followers? When you log onto your Instagram page or Facebook, if you have one of those, like who is it that you follow? And maybe you don't, you're not on social media, right? That's useless for you. But that bottom left picture, it might be on the right-hand side of the screen. I'm trying to work it out. Sorry, I don't actually know how things project. But the magazines slot, who do you follow in celebrity world? Like, which magazine do you pick up and read? Who is it that you are following? Because the people that you are following shape who you are, right? Even that other picture of Barbie, right? As a kid, maybe you follow Barbie and you're influenced, right? You follow her. And I don't know if you can see, but on that picture, it says you can be anything. And we read that and that disciples us, right? We are continuously being discipled by the things around us. And we can follow really good things and we can follow probably neutral things, but we can also follow bad things, right? One of the things that annoys me or frustrates me sometimes is really bad, trashy TV programs that teach us really bad ways of living our life, right? So as a kid, not as a kid, maybe as a young teenager, I used to watch EastEnders, okay? Now, I don't want to be too judgy, but EastEnders is a horrendous show to watch. It teaches you really bad principles. It teaches you that your life has to be full of chaos and drama. Okay. And if you watch that enough, then it makes you think that that's what life is like, right? Or maybe it's, and I'm going to offend here, but maybe it's Made in Chelsea or The Only Way is Essex or it's Love Island. What is it that you watch which you effectively are following and you're being discipled by? And then again, maybe it's not even in kind of pop culture, but it's in your friends and who you hang out with. There's a famous saying, which is, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, right? So we are discipled by the people around us. And Jesus's challenge is not to follow them, but it's to follow me. And there are these two disciples, right, that we meet, Andrew and the other one, maybe John, the author of this book. And they're also basically told to follow me. Jesus' actual words to those two were, come and see, at the very start of verse 39. They're following actually quite good things, right? They're following John the Baptist, this amazing teacher. Jesus calls him basically one of the greatest people that's ever walked on this earth. But still, they made the decision that rather than following something that's good, they're going to follow something that is great in Jesus. And I want to ask you, what are you? Who are you following? And maybe it is that you need to have a little look at your own friends. Maybe you need to have a look at your own social media account, your own TV schedule. and ask yourselves, can I maybe follow something that's going to lead me closer towards Jesus, right? And it kind of links back to that first question, right? What do you want? I think these guys that we meet at the start of this, they want to know who God is, right? They have dedicated their life. They've given up everything. And we see that across all of the disciples. They give up their jobs. They give up their homes. They actually give up some of their families to follow Jesus. What do you want? I want to know who Jesus is. And maybe that's not a place that you're at right now to be able to answer that with, Jesus is my number one. I think sometimes we think as Christians that should be the answer. So I'll say it, but maybe I don't fully believe it. But what you want determines who you follow. So if I want to be a Formula One kind of fan and get involved in that world, then I will follow people in Formula One. Does that make sense? If I want to know who Jesus is, then I will follow people who know Jesus, and I'll follow obviously Jesus himself. And in the next slide, you've got a couple of people that I talk about quite a lot, and I'm talking about a lot in the last few weeks. On the left is a picture from Strictly Come Dancing. I don't know if you guys are watching Strictly. Both my family and Katie's family love Strictly Come Dancing. Saturday nights, it's like sit yourself down and watch Strictly Come Dancing. I'm recording this about an hour, I think, before it starts. And I don't particularly love the show, but I really love the guy dancing in this called Dan Walker. Now, he is dancing last week, Halloween, he danced as a lobster. Now, lobsters don't have any connection to Halloween as far as I am aware, but he decided to dance as a lobster because Dan Walker is a Christian. And Dan Walker said he didn't want to take part in Halloween. He teaches his kids to not follow Halloween. They go to a light party like many people that we know. And he didn't feel right. He didn't feel like he had the right integrity to go onto a stage on a Saturday night and dance in a Halloween costume as this vampire or whatever it may have been. And he agreed with the BBC that he wouldn't do that because of his beliefs. And I really respect Dan Walker. You know, he's a BBC breakfast presenter, used to be a sport presenter. And that is a kind of guy that I want to follow because he is living his life to be a disciple of Jesus. And therefore, I want to learn something from him. Now, the other picture, I've mentioned this guy before, a guy called Fred Rogers, and then Tom Hanks, who plays Fred Rogers in a movie that came out, I don't know, a year or two ago, called A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And I've been hit by this movie, and I've been looking at Fred Rogers' life so much. And funnily enough, I've then been looking at Tom Hanks' life, and both of those two amazing guys are devout Christians. And they, Fred Rogers, was a Presbyterian minister as well as a children's TV host. And he dedicated a life to telling people about who Jesus was and to loving people the way that he saw that Jesus loved people. And if I follow Fred Rogers, then I think I become a little bit more like Jesus because I see Jesus in him. And Tom Hanks as well, he wouldn't have done the movie unless he was a Christian, right? And he identified something, a similarity with Fred Rogers. And so they're people that I am following, I guess, who I think change and transform me. And I think about more local people, you know, I think of people that I can sit around with and I can read the Bible with and I sit around with and pray with. They are people that are shaping me in who I follow. And I want to ask you, who is it that you follow? Not just your number one. So maybe you do want to give me the correct Christian answer and you say, I follow Jesus, but who else? Who else do you follow and are they having a good impact on your life? What do you need to change in your life? Because there are some things that are having a negative effect, a negative impact on your discipleship to Jesus. Moving on, I guess, to the final question. What I love about this story, and it has to be one of the main things I think that you naturally take away from this story, is the amount of people that are telling people about Jesus. Okay, so right at the beginning, right, verse 35, John the Baptist, he tells his own two disciples, okay, people that are following him, he tells them about this guy named Jesus who's walking past. And those two disciples, it seems, no longer call themselves followers of John the Baptist, but they call themselves followers of Jesus. Now, in our selfish world, That would be rare, right? For somebody almost to give up people that follow them and pass them on to somebody that they feel is greater. That speaks of such great humility. But John the Baptist does exactly that. And he tells people about Jesus. Okay. And we know that that's definitely Andrew and maybe John, the author of this book. We then read about Andrew. Okay, now Andrew, as soon as he meets Jesus, okay, and sees, he basically, it says in the text that Jesus says, come follow me. They basically go back to Jesus's house. It's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And most people assume that he ate with Jesus, had a few conversations with him, and at that point realized that Jesus was this phenomenal man. And at that point, he then went and found, he ran to go and find his family, to go find his brother, Simon Peter. And tell him about Jesus, right? And again, this is so good because you've got John the Baptist, who's effectively telling his, maybe his work colleagues, right? The people that he's spending most of his day with. And then you've got Andrew, and Andrew starts telling his family about this guy named Jesus, who he started to follow. And then we meet this guy called Philip, who probably Andrew and Simon Peter already know because they were from the same hometown. But Jesus says to Philip, he says, come follow me. But then Philip, okay, went to look for Nathanael. Right, and straight away you've got this sequential events that happen where one person hears about Jesus and then they go and tell somebody else about Jesus. Philip goes and tells his friend, right? So you've got John the Baptist maybe telling his, you know, work colleagues in today's age. You've got Andrew who goes and tells his brother, his family, and you've got Philip who goes and tells his mate. And I love this idea, and I know it freaks us out so much as Christians to go and tell people about Jesus. And again, it's about those first two questions about shaping our lives so that what do we want? It's relationship with Jesus. Who do you follow? It's Jesus. And then it's way easier to tell people about what you want and who you follow, right? So again, back to the Formula One example. I love Formula One. I would like to be in the world of Formula One. I follow Formula One, and therefore I actually tell quite a lot of people about Formula One. And there's probably many people in this room that have heard me talk about Formula One, and I apologize for it. But effectively, what you want, who you follow, determines who you tell about that particular thing, right? Anyway, so we get this beautiful story where Philip goes and tells Nathanael, right? And he says that this guy named Jesus, and he's the son of Joseph from Nazareth. And this guy named Nathanael basically says, Nazareth, what kind of good can come from there? And Philip again says, he says, come and see for yourself. Come and see. And Jesus sees this guy named Nathanael, and straight away says, hey, you're a genuine person. You're full of integrity because you say what is on your mind. And Nathanael says, hey, how do you know about me? And Jesus basically says, I saw you underneath the fig tree. And Nathanael then like bows down and worships Jesus, because I reckon Nathanael, I'm pretty sure, Nathanael's underneath this fig tree on his own, right? Nobody around, but Jesus knew. Right, had a word of knowledge that's where Nathanael was. And Nathanael realized that, wow, this man knows me. And I think to bring it full circle, what do you want is determined by knowing that Jesus knows you. Okay, he genuinely knows you. He has a heart for you and he loves you. He knows where you are every single day. He knows exactly how many hair strands are on your head. He knows the struggles and the pain and the suffering, the anxieties that you are going through. But he knows you. There is somebody in our world, out of this world, right, that knows you and that wants relationship with you. And that is a man named Jesus. And Jesus was the Lamb of God. He came to die to save us, to forgive us of our sins and to rescue us. And I think we have to know that before we decide that I want Jesus, before you decide that I'm a follower of Jesus, and of course before you decide that I can tell someone about Jesus. I think often in church we can feel pressurized, and I know I potentially do this as well as a preacher, but you can feel pressurized that all I have to do in life is to tell people about Jesus. That's what I've got to do. I've got to try and awkwardly get it into a conversation somewhere. I need to wear a t-shirt that's got a fish on it or says something about Jesus so I can just tell people, and I feel slightly insecure and uncomfortable about it. I guess I just got to do it. And I don't think that's the way that I see it and read it in the Bible. These people, they met Jesus. They had an encounter with him. They realized that Jesus knows them and loves them and has a plan for them. And so therefore they decided that I want Jesus. I want to follow Jesus and I want to tell people about Jesus. And so this morning, I want you to know that you are known that you are loved, that you are valued, and that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I can say those things quite easily, and I know it's really hard for you to believe them, but I want you to reflect on those. I then want you to ask that question, what do I want? What do I want in life? What is my life kind of targeted towards? Who do I follow? What's a good thing that I follow? What's pulling me away from this guy named Jesus who I know is good for me? How else can I follow him, get to know him more? And thirdly, who can you tell? Maybe it's a work colleague that you spend every day with. Maybe it's a family member, a brother, a sister, a mum or dad. Maybe it's a friend that you know. Who can you tell? And so we're going to have a time of communion now, and Peter's going to lead us in that. But as you sit with those challenging questions, I just want you to reflect also on how much you are loved by Jesus, that he died on that cross that I spoke about a number of weeks ago. And he died on that cross for you because he wanted to live for eternity with you, doing life with you, hanging out with you. So why don't I just quickly pray? Yeah, God, we just thank you for every single person that's sat in this room, that's listening online. Jesus, we thank you that you know us, that you love us, that you've got a plan and a purpose for us, that you value us. And God, I pray that you would help us to know that, that we truly, actually, genuinely know that, that we'd be able to get hold of that. And God, I pray that no wise or persuasive words would change that, but actually your invitation to come and follow me, to come and see, that people would make that decision to come and see, to follow you, and that they would begin to know that, because that is what happens when we begin our relationship with you. As we invest in our relationship with you, we see how much you love us, and we see all of those things. And so I pray for us this morning that our hearts would just long to be in relationship with you. And we thank you that you've come to give us life, life in its fullness. And so would you help us to get to that place where we want you, where we want to follow you. And then from that overflow, we want to tell people about who you are. God, would you highlight unhealthy things that distract us from who you are? Things that we're following, that we're putting in too high a position, or maybe just we shouldn't be following at all. Would you help us and guide us? Jesus, we love you and we thank you for what you did for us on that cross. In Jesus' name.